my son walk. When a charged particle moves in a magnetic field, as knowledge describes the circular orbit, and its energy is modified as follows. Here n is the Landau number, and if the value 0, 1, 2, etc., s is the spin, and you can see from this formula that the Landau number, well, this formula applies for F1 cube, F1 2 positive, in such a way that the Landau level number increases the energy of the particle. But if you have a spin aligned with the magnetic field that will correspond to a negative sign here, the energy is decreasing. And we will, this effect of the decrease of the energy, how much it can decrease? As it can decrease indefinitely in principle, because you can increase the, even the magnetic field to the limit where this energy becomes zero. And after that, you can get an instability, which are called Nielsen-Olsen instabilities. We will make use of this effect to take up later a limit in string theory. Now, what is the corresponding the analog of this formula in string theory? Well, you can write, there are similar formulas both in open and closed string theories, for open and closed strings moving in magnetic backgrounds. And they involve in general alpha prime corrections, but in the limit that you take alpha prime to zero, you must recover this formula or something analog. In the case of open string, you recover exactly this formula. In the case of closed strings, it depends on your magnetic configuration. Sometimes the magnetic field can couple to the right part of the spin or to the left part, and sometimes it couples just to the sum of both the right and left parts, which is the total spin. And but these formulas, well, it turns out that there are solvable models, typically solvable models of both open and closed string theory moving in magnetic backgrounds, and you can reproduce very similar formulas to it. And let me just start reminding you the type 1 of a string in a magnetic field. Well, if you set up a prime equal equal 1/2, the reaction is as follows. And the Q1 and Q2 are the charges at the endpoint of the open string, and the equations of motion, well, you get three equations of motion, but you get the boundary conditions, the following boundary conditions. To solve these boundary conditions, it's convenient to introduce the complex coordinates. So that they become as follows. Now, solving the equation of the equations of motion with these boundary conditions, you get the following expansion for the z coordinate. Important that you no longer have a zero mode, the zero mode structure here changed. You don't have a translational part, the x and the mu, but instead that's replaced by the m equals zero mode, which will give rise to the Landau quantum number. Here, an and nm are just satisfied are creation and annihilation of operators with canonical boundary conditions. And these psi's are as follows. So I introduce gamma and gamma prime given by these quantities here, and you can check that if you just you can check that this same defining this way with this psi same satisfy this boundary condition. Now from here you can construct the Virasoro operators and compute the spectrum. And the mass spectrum is very simple. This quantity here, and where phi is the same as here, phi is what I wrote here. It's important to see that phi goes from 1 to 0, is 0 for small f, and when f is large. In the limit that s goes to infinity, it goes to 1. What are hat m and j? They are the usual free string level number operator angular momentum. Let me just introduce my conventions to write it down. And hat is n minus a, where a is equal 1/2 in the visual sector and 0 in the round sector. So that they had takes values 0, 1, 2, etc. J12 contains the spin, the Landau number, and a 1/2 which comes from normal ordering. And the spin is given by use another notation here, but these are the basically the same free creation operators, but they are written there. So this an plus creates particles with it adds one to the spin, where this creates a particle with spin minus one, and okay, so this is all we need. Now, first observation. This phi here, if you restore alpha prime powers here, what you have is that is the arc tangent of 2 pi alpha prime e times f, well, I call it q times f12. And in the limit that alpha prime goes to 0, this is 2 pi alpha prime f12. So we indeed recover the spectrum of the particle moving in a magnetic field, but the string version of it, well, we have the also the, well, it's the same formula that we write it down. Now, take to see that this contains instabilities, you take n equals 0 to have the energy as low as possible, and take, for example, s z equal 2, or s12 equal 2, and you get. And we get this formula, which becomes negative for f12 greater than kc squared. Now, how about the string detections? This is the usual field theory that is now.
I'm just confused. What is the quantum number L?
L is the Landau quantum number.
Pardon?
Landau quantum number.
Okay.
And now, if you are looking now for string tachyons, they will first appear. Well, you can see that this gyromagnetic coupling is greater the greater is the spin of the particle. So we have to look for the particles with higher spin in the spectrum. Those are particles. The highest spin that you can have at a given length. At a given level is s equal n plus 1. You can see that from this formula. And that corresponds to the following state that I will call it field regent. Where this B is the mode operator for the fermions in the universal state.
Sorry, can I ask what is Kz? Is this momentum in the z direction?
Yeah, it's momentum in the z direction.
There's no momentum in x and y direction?
In the?
There's no momentum in the x and y direction?
In the x and y? No. That's what I said. They are replaced by Landau quantum numbers. It's not a conserved number. In the presence of a magnetic field, what we have are Landau numbers. So, what do we get for this state? If we just use that formula for spectrum, what is the energy of this state? Well, the energy of that state, we just need to plug that formula there, is alpha prime m squared is equal to n minus 5 times, and we need to use that formula for J12. Plug in s equal n plus 1, 5 times n plus 1 half. So you can see that n squared is less than 0 if phi is greater than phi critical equal n over n plus 1 half. the first axiom appears at n equals 0, in fact. Level 0. These are the unmixed light particles, which become tachyonic for an infinitesimal magnetic field. But then you can see that all the states on this leading Rydberg trajectory start becoming tachyonic as you gradually increase the magnetic field. Now, you may wonder how does string theory look in the limit of strong magnetic field. The trouble here is that since we have tachyons, we cannot take that limit, because when the first tachyon appears, the theory is already badly defined, and we need to avoid tachyons. In order to avoid tachyons, you may try to start with a supersymmetric configuration of magnetic field. This magnetic field breaks supersymmetry, and that's why we have tachyons. And this is what we will do now. If you turn on a supersymmetric configuration of magnetic field, the m squared is positive definite. And as you increase the magnetic field, at most, m squared will become zero, but never less than zero. And it turns out that it will become zero for all, simultaneously, for all the states that in the first project array. So, to have a supersymmetric configuration, I will turn on F45 and F67. Why 4-5 and F6-7? Because at the end, I want to end up with a theory which has Lorentz invariance in 3 plus 1 dimensions. So you can think of the dimensions of the directions 4, 5, 6, and 7 as internal directions.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
In the non-supersymmetric case, you have a tachyon.
Yeah.
But what is the consequence of the tachyon polarization?
What is the consequence of tachyon polarization? Well, this has been discussed in some cases. There is a whole discussion about that, what happens for example, in the case of many magnetic models in closed string theory. The theory is unstable. Even if there is no tachyon, if you turn on a magnetic field, there are already decay modes. The theory can decay by production of bubble of nothing, and also by the analog effect of Schlinger pre-production. This will be the dual version of that. And when the tachyon is produced, well, the theory becomes highly unstable, and it depends on the case. I think it's a long answer.
So, for example, in your case of this question, do you have a ball machine
here?
Yeah, I found it.
Yeah.
Do you know the consequence of that?
No, I think nobody has studied this case.
But just in field theory, then you know the answer. It's just unstable, you don't have. The Van Loop effect would be. So this vacuum is not stable.
The field theory tachyon, that was studied by Nielsen and Olsen, and other people as well. But in the full string theory, I don't know what happened. How do you construct a supersymmetric vacuum? Well, in the action I wrote there, I wrote only bosonic terms. If you write the Green-Schwarz action for the in the presence of an open string, for the open string in presence of a magnetic field, you have this boundary term. where I have AB is equal to 1/4 of gamma AB IZ if IZ. And if you demand that this is supersymmetric, that this is invariant under the shift of S, that leads to a certain, it just make SA to SA plus epsilon A. And you find the conditions on F, on the components of F, that it should satisfy to preserve a fraction of the supersymmetry. And the general condition that you find is that F 2-3 plus F plus or minus F 4-5 plus or minus F 6-7 plus or minus F 8-9 is equal to 0. This is the most general condition for the fractions of supersymmetry to be preserved. And in the present case that we are turning on just F 4-5 and F 6-7, we will just demand that F 4-5 is equal to F 6-7. And in this case, 1/2 of the supersymmetry is at the set. How does the spectrum look like when you turn on two waves? Well, we have to go through to the same, but it's basically, as you may expect, we simply get an additional term corresponding to the extra magnetic field. Where J1 and J2 means J1 is equal to J4-5. J2 is equal to J6-7. And the same, if I want to apply related to F4-5, if related to F6-7 by that arctangent formula that I wrote there. Now, let me go a little bit quicker. What do you get now? Suppose you consider the first red state that we consider there. What is the mass spectrum for that state now? Well, what you get is, applying this formula, is n times 1 minus phi 1 minus phi 1 minus phi 2 over 2. So n squared is less than 0 if n is less than phi 1 minus phi 2 over 2, 1 minus phi 1. If you choose phi 1 equal phi 2, this is positive definite, because remember that phi 1 is less than 1. So this is as expected, because in this case we have supersymmetry. Now, so let's take this case. We will consider states with maximum spin, and a more general state than that one is a state where we have S1 plus S2 equal n plus 1. That is, the sum of the spin in the 4, 5, and 6, 7 directions is maximum, is n plus 1. When you plug this into that formula upstairs, what you get in this case is that alpha prime n squared is equal to n times 1 minus phi 1 equal to phi 2. So let's remove the 1.
So you're guessing the Landau number that you can use?
Yes. Okay. Yes, in most cases, yes. Everyone? So now you can see that for these states with maximum spin, in the limit that phi goes to 1, they all become zero maximum times. So what we will do is to take a limit, we write down alpha prime equal epsilon times alpha prime effective. phi equal 1 minus epsilon, and putting, and sending, remember, sending epsilon to 0 means sending F, the magnetic field, to infinity. And we take the limit epsilon to 0 with alpha prime effective fixed. You can see from here what you get. Here is 1 minus 5 is just epsilon. I have epsilon alpha prime effective here, which cancels this epsilon here. So for this text, we just get alpha prime effective times n squared equal n. And all these states remain of finite mass, but for any other state of the string spectrum, let's do the same limit for any other state. Any other state has s1 plus s2 less than n plus 1, or j1 plus j2 less than n. So if you just plug over there, we will get alpha prime effective, m squared equal 1 over epsilon times n minus j1 minus j2. Since this is less than n, this goes to infinity. So the conclusion is that in this limit, all the states in the string spectrum decoupled, except for the states lying on the first Bessel trajectory with the spin aligned with the magnetic field.
You also decoupled this your zero mass states previous to theory, right? Because you took magnetic field into
the massless states, you see? Yeah. Massless states which are charged, decoupled except not all of them, because you can have n equals zero here. So these are like you have, for example, W bosons with a spin aligned with the magnetic field, those will survive. Right. There is a neutral sector that I didn't discuss so far, in which the charges Q plus Q prime are equal to zero. The total charge of the string is zero. In that case, the spectrum is basically the free string spectrum. And you can see that this will become in the same limit alpha prime effective, n squared equal n over epsilon. So they will all decouple except in the n equals zero mass states. So in conclusion, we are left with this collection of string states lying on the first Bessel trajectory plus a massless gauge supermultiple, which is neutral under U, the U1, which are normal. We can construct explicitly all surviving states satisfying S1 plus S2 equal n plus 1. Let me just quickly show you how they look like. Well, in the next sector you have this is a 1 class of states with n1 plus n2 equal to n. So since n1 can go from 0 to n, these are 2n plus 1 states. Well, it's n plus 1 states. An example in the Ramon sector would be well, simplest example is the same quantity here, n2, applied to the Ramon vacuum. This is a spin-off, and for these states you get two n plus one states. And there are other states adding more B operators, or adding also Ramon operator, Feynman operators here. In total, I have constructed all of them explicitly, and you get in total 8n bosons and 8n fermions. This is quite a small number compared to the exponential number of states that the free string has at each energy level. Now, I'm going to do the same in the closed ring case. I will erase this black one. In the type 2 closed string, you can have a magnetic field configuration for example, if the magnetic field has a Kaluza-Klein origin coming from a non-diagonal component of the metric. There are several ways to do this. Here I will describe the simplest way, which is called the Melvin magnetic flux tool. Though it should probably be called the Gibbons magnetic flux tool, since Melvin never knew about this phenomenon. And how is this vacuum? You just have a flat Minkowski metric with some twist in a polar angle. And here Y is a periodic coordinate with period 2 pi r. And if you redefine phi, introduce a phi prime equal phi plus b y, you can see that this is equivalent just to flat Minkowski space with an identification. A translation in y is accompanied by a twist in phi. Thank you. Now you can make a Kaluza-Klein dimensional reduction along the y direction. And you get an Einstein frame metric which looks like this. So here you can see that indeed you have a magnetic field with some profile. This F is simply 1 plus B squared rho squared. So it's a profile that goes to 0, much more. And so this is the model, but since it is, as I said, a string theory on a flat space-time, we can solve it exactly. And the solution is as follows. See. Well, the words in Lagrange, right, is the class of xi, the minus xi, these are extra free coordinates which don't couple to the magnetic field. And you have the plus I, b1, b plus y, c, b minus I, b minus y, c conjugate, and c is equal rho I c to the I phi, plus b plus y, b minus y. So you can see that there is an interaction here, but you can remove the interaction by producing a new coordinate e to the I minus dy and c. Of course, this function here, I shouldn't call it prime, I should call it zeta t. This function here is not single value because this is single value. This is the physical coordinate, but because of this factor here, here it will, when you go from sigma to pi, it will transform. But taking into account the correct periodicity of zeta, you can now derive the exact spectrum for the theory. And it's as follows. And then right minus n left, this is what omega times n, and here omega is a winding number around the y direction, and m is the momentum around the y direction, and this gamma here is gamma hat is gamma minus the integer part of gamma, and gamma is b omega times v times r. This is the gyromagnetic coupling. The charge here, what plays the role of the charge here is the winding number of the states. And you can see that the theory is periodic in the magnetic field because of this subtraction. And you can understand the periodicity from the fact that the way we introduce the magnetic field, that adding v to be to plus n over r, it doesn't change anything in the same geometry. J right and J left, let me just write them down. It's J right is S right minus L right minus 1/2. J left is equal S left plus L left plus 1/2. And these are lambda quantum numbers again, and F right and S left are the spin in the place the magnetic field is. Now, in this theory is not supersymmetric again, because and above some critical value of the magnetic field, you can see that there are tangents. To see these tangents, you can consider again states with maximum spin. You can consider, for example, a state with m equals 0, m right equal n left, s right equal n right plus 1. This is the maximum spin a particle can have, it's n right plus 1. Minus n left minus 1. you plug it there, and you can see that it has increased b. There is a critical value of b at which you, at which the m squared becomes becomes negative. There's also a condition on the radius. If the radius, the radius must be lower. If the radius is higher than some given value than the square root of 2 alpha prime, there are no tangents in the theory. If it is lower, you get tangents. Well, okay, so this is the theory, but as before, we are interested in supersymmetric configurations. And to have a supersymmetric configurations, all we need to do is to do something similar that we did for the open string case. We turn on F45 equal F67, and that means in this context B1 and B2. Namely, you just write the same model with two complex planes and make a shift in the two polar angles. In one polar angle, phi 1 is shifted by d1 dy, and the other phi 2 plus d2 dy. And the model is very similar. It can be solved again. And the spectrum now is as follows. I think I will write it again. This gamma is the same gamma as defined there, because one observation of this diagram is that you not only have terms proportional gyromagnetic couplings, but also couplings to J, which are the square of the magnetic field. Well, okay, this is a. All right, and there is one term more, which is omega squared, r squared, or alpha. Now, again, take the a state with maximum spin like this. Set L right and L left equal to 0. And we are going to take the same limit now. Alpha prime is equal to epsilon times alpha prime infective. We write dr equal 1 minus epsilon. And this implies that gamma hat is equal 1 minus omega epsilon. So gamma hat goes to 1 in this limit. And in addition, we need to do r equal epsilon r bar. And we take the limit, epsilon going to 0, with alpha prime effective fixed and r bar fixed. And I will just give you the result. You get that all these states have finite mass in this limit, given by this formula. In addition, you need to set, in addition to setting this quantum number to have a finite mass, you need to set m equal j1 plus j2. This, you can see that from here, because dr goes to 1. And here there will be an epsilon factor because of this r squared. So for this to be finite, it is necessary that m is equal to j1 plus j2. But since j1 plus j2 is equal to n right minus n left, this implies at the same time that omega must be 1. The winding number must be 1. So, in conclusion, the statement is that if you take this limit in this model, an infinite number of states remain. They are given by this, by those spin and this quantum number, and all other states in the string spectrum of the cup. Again, you can see that for any other state with a different winding number or different spin, their mass goes to infinity. What happens in the zero winding sector? In the zero winding sector, the string spectrum is the free string spectrum. That spectrum that I wrote there applies to non-zero winding. And if the winding is zero, these are like neutral strings. And for neutral strings, the magnetic field doesn't do anything. And so if omega equal to zero, you just have alpha prime n squared equal to n right plus n left. This is the free string spectrum. And this means that alpha prime effective n squared is equal to 2 over epsilon n right plus n left. So all these states decouple except for n right equal n left equal to 0. In summary, if you take the strong magnetic limit for this model, the only states with remain of finite mass are states with maximum spin and winding equal 1 and the supergravity one. Now, can consider the one loop partition function for the open string model and take the limit there to see whether the limit is well defined. In the supersymmetric, since the case is supersymmetric, the partition function is zero, but you can add another magnetic field component to break supersymmetry, and then you can compute the partition function. And you can check that it has a well-defined limit, and you get some interesting expressions for the partition function. What I will do now is to consider the finite temperature partition function for the supersymmetric model. You just take the string theory partition function in a magnetic field, in this magnetic field configuration, and we will take the limit on this. We just take the expression which was computed in a paper by Arkady Zeitlin. Where phi 1 is equal to phi 2 equal 5. Phi 1 hat here, phi 2 hat are equal to 0, and phi 3 hat equal phi 4 hat equal 5. You just plug this into here, and the F are related to the magnetic field, I didn't say that. Well, I can say now F is equal F1 equal F2 is equal to 2 pi alpha prime times F 4 phi E plus E prime, where you have the charges at the end. I think I called them before Q and Q prime. Okay, and now you take the limit the same limit that we took here, and you can show that the partition function becomes the following expression. This is the expected expression because it agrees with the general expression for the free energy in field theory with a mass spectrum given by m squared equal n, and this n are just corresponding to one single oscillator. No? That's what you get this factor. The interesting thing is this. Partition function here, the field theory partition function is divergent for a temperature above some critical temperature, above the Hagelian temperature. You can check that this partition function is convergent for all beta. Converges both in the ultraviolet and in the infrared. And well, to check that, you just need to look at the behavior of theta 2 at t going to 0 and t going to infinity. And if t goes to 0, theta 2 goes to 2 exponent beta squared over. And if t goes to infinity, theta 2 goes to square root of t. So, well, this is not, it's not a surprise actually, because remember that the divergence at the Hagelian temperature is due to the fact that there is an exponential number of states in the string spectrum. Here, the number of states of a given mass is proportional to n, namely to the mass squared. And in such a case, you cannot have a Hagelian temperature. So I basically finished that. Let me just emphasize the main points that we have discussed. We have seen that there is a limit, an alpha prime to zero limit of string theory, in which an infinite number of states remain. These states, from the point of view of the 3 plus 1 dimensional theory, are scalars and one-half spin fermions. Well, what is the theory after the limit? It's not a string theory. It is it's presumably a field theory with a collection of an infinite number of states. And what would be interesting is to derive interactions in this theory, or to derive a Lagrangian with a field theory, Lagrangian with interactions, because the theory may is a simplified version of string theory in which some string effect may be captured by this infinite number of states. And yet, well, in a much simpler context. So, Well, okay, this is more or less what I wanted to say. Thank you. I believe so, except that since I have not discussed interactions, I will say what is the definition of the string gap. One guess could be from the non-commutative version of this limit, because in the non-commutative case, you have a similar limit, but the string is neutral. And when you do this, well, but we also have neutral strings here. We may have neutral string here. And for those, we know that we need to redefine the string coupling. maybe the same definition applies here. No? Computing interaction.